Leaving a legacy is important, dads. My two kids ripped me up today as I read what they wrote. You know, and then I sat in my study this morning reflecting on two men. And if you got to Facebook, you saw what I said, that shaped my ministry. Kenneth E. Hagin and V.E. Tipton, my father-in-law. And then, you know, I'm the man I am today because of my dad. Even though he was gone quite a bit, I would see the man drive in a 49 Oldsmobile 22 hours on old Highway 66 from California just to be with mom for a few hours and to eat a meal with my sister and I and get back in that car and drive 12 hours to start another meeting. I saw him do that more times than I can count. If we had a long weekend, he would end his church service on a, because he didn't have a Saturday night service on Friday, and he would drive after service and come and pick me up and take me back to be with him. I learned that it's not the amount of time, but it's the quality of time that you spend with them. Today I'm so thankful for Kenneth E. Hagin, my father, and my father-in-law, B.E. Tipton. Those are the two men that I entered, V.E. Tipton entered my life when I was 20, just turned 26 years old. And he helped me to know how to be a pastor. I knew about ministry. I'd been doing it since I was 18, but I didn't know about pastoring. I owe who I am today to those two men. And as I was thinking, I thought about one other man that took time for a bunch of 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. His name was Kenneth Turner. He would take his family to church, and you couldn't do it today, but back in that day you could. And he would go out, and if he would find boys playing in the street, he would ask them if they would like to go to church, and then he would go ask their parents or their mom or dad if he could take them to church, and then he would bring them back home. I never will forget at his funeral, that church there was full of all of these men that were walking by and saying thank you because he shaped their lives. We men have a responsibility, not only to our own families, but to the kids in this church. We have a responsibility. You know, it's Father's Day. And one child said, "Oh, it's just, what is Father's Day all about?" They said, "Well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present." Someone made a list of the things that my dad would never say. "Can you turn the music up louder? Here, take my truck anywhere you want to go, and here's $50 for gas." "Oh, hey, I love your tattoo. We need to get one together." You can stay out all night if you want. Here, you can have the remote. Those are things that my dad would never say, and they're things that probably don't need to be said. Turn to somebody, turn to a man in this audience, and especially if they're a father, and tell them Happy Father's Day. Otherwise, just say Happy Father's Day to somebody. My subject today is creating a spiritual legacy. Romans 4:16. Therefore it, the promises of God, is what it's talking about, is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is called the father of faith. He left a legacy for his children and for all of us who believe. Now, one reason that God chose Abraham is because he knew Abraham would be a faithful father and leave a spiritual legacy. Genesis 18:19. For I know him, I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. You know, we as fathers won't always be there. So it's important to make sure that we leave a spiritual legacy for our children. I want to share three things with you that I believe will help you to leave a spiritual legacy. First of all, know the way you want your children to go. Father, there's some things that you know for yourself, but you need to instill those things into your children as well. You know, my dad knew these, and he instilled them into us, my sis and I. Dad knew the Bible. He studied to show himself approved of God, and he helped us, his children, my sister and I, to know the word. Dad knew how to have faith in God, and he taught us how to have faith in God. Dad knew how to control himself and conduct himself at all times, and he taught us how to control ourselves and to act right. I didn't always measure up, but I tried hard. And I'm getting better the older I get. Dad knew the plan of God for his life, and he encouraged us, my sister and I, to do the same for ourselves. Most of all, he knew how to walk in love toward his fellow man, and he trained us to do the same. I've tried to emulate that as I have walked my road of life that God has given to me toward my destiny. As a father, you have to know the way your family should go before you can show them the way. Now, in the middle of helping your children know the right way to go, there are times when it's not going to work out just right, like you wanted it to. Reminds me of a little story. A family was taking a little trip, vacation. Dad, mom, two boys in the back seat. And if you know anything about boys, siblings, they have a tendency to pick on one another. How many know what I'm talking about? So they have been picking on one another. I know this for a fact because I've taken those five boys on vacation. All five of them. Oh, what a deal. I mean, my goodness. You know, Blake shoving Trevor's head into the wall, and the rest of them are scared. Then the rest of them are scaring one of the others, tell them there's a monster or something, you know. They pick on one another. Well, these two boys have been picking on their on you know, for 200 miles, screaming, yelling, you know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It not only happens with boys, brothers and sisters can do this too, because I had a younger sister and I was always pulling her hair, doing something, you know. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story about one time. We were teenagers. I was about 15, I guess. And it was hot. Actually, it was summertime. We had about 180-foot lot, you know, and so I had been mowing, and it was hot. I came in. I didn't have my shirt on, and I came in, and I was going to get me something to drink, and she told me, she said, "Listen, I just put a cake in the oven. Don't be jumping around in there. You make my cake fall." Well, I got me a drink of water, and I went over right in front of the oven, and I go. Well, I'm fast, but she's quick fast. She's a fast runner, too, back in the day. I made it out the door. She's right behind me, but I didn't get very far. And she reached out, and she's left-handed, and she hit me with that left hand right in the middle of between my shoulder blades. I had a handprint in my back for a long time that day. Siblings will pick on one another, right? So the dad, after 200 miles, he stopped the car. He said, "I have had it." He got the two boys outside and administered a little discipline. Now, there's a difference between administering discipline and abuse. A big, big difference. So he told him, he said, "For the next 30 minutes, I don't want to hear a word." So they all got back in the car and started driving. After 30 minutes had passed, finally, the younger one spoke up and said, you know, because he wasn't supposed to say nothing. He didn't want to hear a sound. "Dad, you remember when you disciplined us 30 minutes ago?" "Yes." "Well, one of my shoes came off." He didn't say nothing. He didn't want to get in trouble. But now they got to go buy him some shoes. Now that we've all had a good laugh, hey, fathers, make a decision today to help your children to go in the right way and showing them the way. So when they're on their own, they can be confident and know exactly what to do because you have shown them the way. And see, look at Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, a fellow once said that he never had a real father. And he went on to say that in many ways it really hindered him in his progress in life because he didn't have anybody to show him the way. Everyone needs somebody to look to. Someone they can look up to as a hero, someone to encourage them. Someone they can follow through life so they won't get lost. Someone they can copy so they have the right example. I want to encourage you fathers to do all you can to become your children's mentor and hero. Be a leader. Be an example. Be a supporter. I got 5 grandsons. And I make it to every basketball game, baseball game, football game, race that I can get to. Why? Because I want to know that them to know that I support them and are proud of what they're doing. You know, in all of my athletic career, my dad saw me race one time, run one track race. That's all. Maybe that's why I do that. But I think it's important. If you're going to be an example as a father or a grandfather, then you need to be a supporter. You need to be a rock they can lean on, that they can come to. You need to be there for them, and especially in the hour of need. Fathers, you need to show your children what to do. That means set the right example in front of them. Somebody said, if you want, and I got this from somebody else, but somebody said, if you want your child to fail, all you have to do is provide them with plenty of free spending money, permit them to choose their own companions without restraint or direction, give him a key and allow him to return home at any hour of the night that he wants, make no inquiry to where he is or who he spends his leisure hours with. Let him expect pay for every act of helpfulness. Let him spend his church hours on the streets instead of in church with you. Be careful never to let him hear you pray. If you want a child to fail, right there is a whole list of things you can do, and I guarantee you failure. Hello? Are you there? You're going home. Being a father is a daily chore. It's a daily thing. You make the greatest impact with your daily living, daily reading the word and praying, daily giving a helping hand, daily letting your children know that you love them, daily pointing them to God and showing them that God will take care of them. Daily showing them how to stand on the promises of God's word. Daily teaching them life skills that they need to succeed. You know, over the years, I've had students, especially some of those that we get to know in more personal, they ruined the engine in their car because they didn't know they were supposed to check the oil. You know, even though I taught Denise to put gas in her car. And, you know, a little bit about the car, so at least she got some. See, sometimes we need to, it's a daily thing. You know, being a great father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow. That's what, I didn't say that. Somebody else said it, so I just got it from them. A neat little story. A girl was getting ready to go to college, and she told this story. But I got the old family car to go to college. And my father loaded the trunk with soft drink bottles, each one filled with oil, coolant, and transmission fluid. And so, sure enough, the car overheated. Scolded myself for not listening to what he told me. I opened the hood and looked at the engine, and then I saw how well he had prepared. Because the oil cap was labeled Dr. Pepper. The transmission stick was labeled Coke. And she looked at the empty coolant container there, she says, and it was labeled Diet Pepsi. I opened the trunk, and there they were, the Dr. Pepper, the Coke, and the Diet Pepsi, each one filled with the proper liquid for where it needed to go. And I finished my trip safely. I thought that was a pretty wise father. You know, if you've got to go the way you want your children to go. Not only show them, but go. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now here's the instruction for children and fathers. As godly fathers, we have a responsibility to train and instruct our children in the way they should go. You know, it's very difficult to get a child to go the way they should go unless he has seen the example in front of him. No one can lead a person unless they first go that way themselves. No one can teach another person unless they have learned it ahead of time. A father's example of what is good and right is a necessary part of children becoming a success. Some things are taught. Some things are learned. But some things only are learned as they go. I thank God for everything that my dad taught me. And if I would have listened, I wouldn't have had to learn some things along the way. How many of you can put yourself in that category? You see, there's one thing somebody to teach you, but it's one thing to do what you're taught. But I'm going to tell you what. Once you do it wrong, you never do it again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, you know, children will become mostly what they see you doing, not what they hear you saying. One person said, people do what you do, not what you say. So that means that we dads and granddads have to go the right way and set the right example. Right? Another little story that's interesting. 6-year-old Jeff had just finished mowing the lawn and he was putting things away, and Dad thought, oh, this is a terrific opportunity to spend a few minutes with him, just the two of us. So they crawled up on the trampoline and laid down. We're looking up into the sky. With a puzzled look, the little boy turned to his dad and said, what are we here for? And his dad, oh, this is a great teaching opportunity. So he began to explain how we are God's children, how God loves us and wants us to have abundant life and so forth and so on. He went. And proud that he explained things so well, he asked his son, did I answer your question? And he responded, not really. The reason I asked why we're up here is, weren't we supposed to pick mom up at the store an hour ago? Sometimes we need to realize that sometimes, you know, we think we're doing a fantastic job and we're not at all, because their mind is not even on what you're saying. The little boy's mind wasn't on what was being said to him. He was on the fact, hey, we're supposed to pick up mom. You know, it's true that somebody has to lead the way in the family. And God picked fathers to do it. Thank God for moms, but dads are supposed to lead. Hello. You know, God gave fathers a, you know, special equipment to know the way, to show the way, to go the way in front of their children. He also says in this scripture, don't provoke them to wrath, right? He means, listen to what they have to say. He means don't expect unrealistic expectation out of them. I have seen through the years, as I have dealt with fathers for all these years now, ministry, 56 I think it is, or whatever, that have put unrealistic expectation on the kids. Number one, they expected each kid to be a cookie cutter. Because Johnny is on the honor roll doesn't necessarily mean that Susie has to be. See, that provokes kids to wrath when you try to make them be what they're not. And I could do a whole lot of teaching right here, but I'm just going to say, hey, let each child be their self with their own individual personalities. They're all different. Find out what makes them tick. And then encourage them in that area where they're at. See, you can provoke, that's what he's talking about, provoking children to wrath. You can provoke them to wrath by having unrealistic expectations out of them. Now, everybody can study and learn, but everybody is not an honor roll student. Yours truly being one of them. I was a good B student, had an 89.75 average when I graduated from high school. My sister, she made A's all the time. But Dad didn't, he didn't try to make me make A's. You know. So, hey, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you, fathers? Now, leaving a spiritual legacy of faith for your children and grandchildren is vitally important. Now, kids, let me talk to you. I've talked to the fathers. But that scripture talks to the kids too. Appreciate Dad. Show him your appreciation while you can, because he won't always be there. You know, some of you will understand later why Dad and Granddad made decisions that they made. Imitate your dad. Life's too short to learn everything by yourself. Follow your dad as he follows Christ. Celebrate your dad. Applaud dad. Honor him. And you'll be honored. That's what the word says there. Honor them, fathers and mothers. As I close this morning, I've done my best just to talk to you. I don't know whether you call this a sermon or just a talk. I don't know what you call it. But I know that what I said is vitally important. I know that I made some great points. And I trust that they will be taken. But Keith Urban, country western singer, had a song said, "The older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother and me. And he did the best that he could. And I only hope when I have my own family that every day I see a little more of my father in me." I want all the fathers to stand, please. And I want you to come forward. And if your sons and your daughters are there with you, some of you got sons, some of you got daughters, some of you got both, I want them to come down and stand with you. Otherwise, you can come and stand as a father, because not everybody has their children here with them. But if the children are here, I want y'all to step out. If the children are here, I want them to come down with their fathers. And stand, don't line up, just stand together. Get in close, guys. It don't hurt. Get close. Put, if there's more than one of you, put Dad in the middle of you so that you're all around one another. Skyler, get up on the other side of your dad. Don't hang back there in the back. There you go. See, I got right to say that. Now, I don't have anything right to say anything to anybody else. Man, isn't this great? Now, I want all of y'all that are left back there, I want y'all to stand up, reach your hands out and pray with these. I'm going down there and stand with my son and grandsons and son-in-law. And I'll try to lead the prayer down there. I may pray more for us than I do y'all. Y'all pray for yourself. My dad told me something, and I've learned this. He said, son, learn how to pray for yourself, because you care more about you than anybody else does. So I've always done that. All right, go ahead, pray. Start praying. Reach your hands out toward them. Start praying. Father, we thank you for all these men. We thank you for these families. Father, I pray that you'd help each of them to be what they should be to their families. Father, I thank you that each of us do our part as grandfathers and as fathers. I thank you that each of us will be able to be an example for our families. And Father, may as we are an example for our families, may we be an example for others to follow. Father, today, right now, as we're standing here together praying, if there needs to be rededication to God, I thank you that each child would rededicate themselves to the Lord. If a father needs to say, Lord, I've been missing it, forgive me, help them to do so right now. Father, we thank you that you've given us this responsibility. We accept it, and we will go forward doing what we are supposed to do, being the fathers that we're supposed to be. But as children, we dedicate ourselves to being what we are supposed to be, loving God and Jesus and our family. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, all of y'all down here, hug one another's necks. Brothers, sisters, brothers, dads, granddads. Hallelujah. Now you can go back to your seats. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rich, you got anything? Glory to God. You know, let's everybody stand, please. Sorry. If you happen to be in here and you don't, excuse me, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to find Jesus. Or if you need to rededicate your life, I want to give you an opportunity. Or you just come to church, you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody in that category, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you and I'll pray for you. Anybody, just raise your hand anywhere in this room. Anywhere, anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, if there be those that need to rededicate their life or accept you, I pray that you'd be with them. Holy Spirit, until they stop and accept Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. You know, there's a song we sing sometimes at a lot of events, but I think it might fit here. Each family that's there, mothers, daughters, sons, whatever, I want you to join hands. Okay? Join hands as family. And if you don't have any family then here with you, then join hands with somebody else and y'all make a church family. We're going to sing. You know what we're going to sing. We're going to sing One in the Family. Let's sing it.
Yes, we're one in the family. One in the Lord. Bound by His Spirit. Washed in His blood. And together there is nothing we can't overcome. 'Cause we're one.
Blood-wise, we're one family. Church-wise, we are the Rhema Church family. We call ourselves that. There's nothing that we can't overcome together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Staff, you can go to the doors, please. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them, please, to the connection room so they can get that special gift. Nobody else moving unless you absolutely, absolutely have to. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. I trust you got something from this today. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Hey, listen, don't forget, we need sign-ups for Rockets Over Rhema for the kids in the East Lobby and out in the North Lobby for traffic. Oh, for all of you that will help go out and hang these door hangers, meet Alex right behind the sound booth right now. We're going to sing a chorus and then we're dismissed. Let me get down that aisle so I can shake somebody's hand. God bless you. See you tonight.
I know.